Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers, back high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square at the World Headquarters in Madison. We are live on location at the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee for the 103rd State Education Convention, consisting of the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, the Wisconsin Association of School District Administrators, the Wisconsin Association of School Business Officials, in conjunction with the Wisconsin Public Education Network. It is a great afternoon, and Mr. Zommers, only wish you were here. We got all kinds of great people stopping by. How are things back home?
Things are good. I also wish I was there. Yeah, you've been saying hi to a lot of people, waving at least if you can. If you can't, you know, talk to them since you're on a radio program.
Seeing some great people, and one of those great people joining us live right now. We appreciate it so very much. He is a member of our team here at Civic Media, wears a lot of different hats. He also today is wearing the hat of school board member from the Bosque Bell School District in Southwest Wisconsin, our very own Jimmy Cuska. Mr. Cuska, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I saw you out here in the lobby, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I've been doing some radio already with Civic Media, but I saw you here, and I'm like, well, how convenient is this? I don't even need to, you know, I don't have to pick up my phone or anything. I just walk here and sit down and talk to you. So.
Well, we appreciate it. It was late notice because I was setting up, but I know you're on Matt and Air on Air with Jane and Greg this morning. You're going to be on the Maggie Dawn show later on. I'm like, he's a busy guy, but I didn't want to not have you, and you were kind enough to stop by and make time for us. Really appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy to talk about it. There's a lot of important things happening here, and I think the fact that we have this platform to, you know, share the things that are going on here is very important.
Right. We're going to talk to you in just a second, Jimmy. We have one of our people. This is a person on the street, and I love this sort of thing. Ma'am, is it Sue?
Sue,
come on over, Sue. We have Sue here. She's joining us. She's one of the attendees as well. This is literally person on the street. I love everything about it. We are right in the rotunda of the Baird Center, so all these people passing by, we can just talk to people. We're going to bring Sue here. Go ahead and just pick the microphone. Sue, where are you from? Tell us where you're from.
I'll help you. I got you.
Sue, Jimmy will help you out. One second. The microphones are kind of there we are.
I'm from the Sebastopol School District in Door County, Wisconsin.
In beautiful Door County, Wisconsin.
Yes,
that's fantastic.
Yes.
And what's your role here?
I am a school board member.
Okay.
And I am also a director with the Wisconsin Association of School Boards.
Wow, you wear a couple of different hats as well.
Yes, I do.
She has significantly more ribbons on the bottom of her.
I'm also a member of the CESA 7 board. So I come at it from different angles.
You know, I think so many people, Sue, think of Door County. We go up there for a week or a weekend during the summer and enjoy the beauty. But there are folks that live up there year-round
as
well.
Yes, we do. Yes, and there's really a lot going on up there all year-round, especially with our schools. We have so many activities that attract community members, whether it's athletics or plays or musicals or all the special events that we have.
What do you feel, in your opinion, in your part of the state, in Door County, what are one or two of the biggest issues facing public education and school districts today?
Oh, yes. Only one or two? Of course, finances are always a concern for school districts. And particularly in Door County, we are property rich, but not always income rich. So we depend upon our local taxpayers to support our schools, which they do very, very well. I think another concern is preparing our kids for this ever-changing world that we're living in. It's a very complex world, not only the work world, but community living. Very complex these days, and we don't know the future, obviously. Yeah. So we have to really prepare those kids to be career, college, and community ready.
And Sue, from Door County here, a school board member, amongst other things she does, Sue, what's the big takeaway, or one of the big takeaways that you have when you have an opportunity to come here and to these conventions? What's something that you get out of this that you can take back home and apply in your local school district?
Oh, there's so much. I always do a report for our board on what I learn here. I've been in education for many, many years. Since I was 21 years old, I started in education. And I always learn something here every year. There's just so much new, things that are changing. And just being able to network with other school board members. Well, what are you doing with this? And here's what we're doing. Those kinds of exchanges are so helpful. And then, of course, we have the consultants that work with WASB. We have the attorneys. All of them, we learn so much from.
I just want to follow up on a point you said about the things that are changing in education. The last breakout sessions we had, there was one that was on AI, artificial intelligence.
Yes.
There was another one on social media storytelling. So you think about education, you don't think about these things necessarily as part of it, but there's a lot of things that are happening in the world of education. And just look at the sessions down the hall from us. You know, you hit it right on the head because there's so much going on right now.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I went to a session on the new career readiness skills for preparing our kids for this whole new world that they're going to be living in. It's not traditional career education as we knew it years ago, but helping to get them ready.
Well, Sue, I appreciate all of your time. I said this at the top of our show. I think for you and Jimmy and everyone here, I think being a school board member is one of the most ungrateful jobs out there because communities don't understand what you do and we don't say thank you enough. And you're dealing with state mandates and new laws and changing things. But you are helping oversee the future of our state, our young people.
Yes, yes. Really, education is the only thing that we can use to change our world and to make a better society for everyone.
Hey, Sue, thank you so very much from Door County. Really appreciate you stopping by. Have a great convention, all right? Thank you very much. This is a great part, Jimmy, about, you know, just being right in the middle of this, having people like Sue stop by. Talk a little bit, for those that don't know, you're from Southwest Wisconsin, not very far from where I grew up. Talk to us a little bit how long you've been on the Bosque Belt School Board and what some of your main roles are.
You know, well, just first, when we have people that have so much experience in education, you know, like I've learned so much in the last, I've only been on the school board in Bosque Belt for a little less than 2 years. I was a write-in candidate, actually. We had nobody that went to go for the election. Nobody was registered as a write-in. So about 10 minutes before the deadline, I did the one piece, or two pieces of paper to get in, and 13 votes later on a school board. You know, you talk, you know, so that was kind of my initial in. But
doesn't that speak to people just don't, I think the general public doesn't see the value in being on the school board.
Well, I look at it this way too. I mean, first of all, there's a selfish perspective. My kids are 5 and 7, right? So they're very young. I'm in a brand new area to me because I'm from northern Wisconsin. My wife is from the area we live in now by Bosque Belt. And, you know, for me, it was a way to not only, you know, have some idea of what's going on with my kids' education and maybe help make it a better spot for all kids, including my own, but also to help me learn more about the community I was in. But then the other side of it is that I've been reporting, you know, on news topics for years, you know, in media. And, you know, one part of it that in recent years, just based on, you know, like civic media, I work in TV, and it's been pulling me more news side, education side. So now I'm getting a firsthand look at how things operate in local governments, not just with the school board, but the work we have to do with city, with county, with state, with our legislators. We had Howard Markline in Bosque Belt on Monday, having a chance to talk to him about education issues. And I think that's one thing that this role gives you. It gives you a bit of a platform to advocate for those things. And especially in my case, I really look at this as a way to really advocate for kids in Wisconsin and to make sure that education is going to be solid for them.
We are here at the 103rd State Education Convention in downtown Milwaukee at the Baird Center, talking to Jimmy Cuska, not only from Civic Media, but more importantly, at least today, a member of the Bosque Belt School Board in Southwest Wisconsin. Jimmy, Sue talked about this. Your opinion, top one or two issues that you feel that school districts across Wisconsin are facing right now?
Well, I would say it's pretty obvious that school funding is going to be the top thing, right? Because, you know, in Wisconsin, you know, the declining enrollment is hurting school budgets, especially at small schools. So state aid has to kick in to help a little bit, right? But that's also declining. And what's compounding the declining enrollment this year, in addition to not receiving some of the things that were sought in the biennial budget, is the fact that after September, the federal COVID relief fund, the ESSER money, that runs out. I know in our board's case, we had to backfill our budget to balance it with quite a bit of it. We pretty much saved it for this situation, but now we know we have that hole next year. So one thing I learned yesterday in talking to the WASBO, the business officials side of it, they had a presentation yesterday. They did a survey in December, and I was really surprised. They said they had 38% of the schools that responded, or 136 schools, said that they're considering an operational referendum this year. And that affects that. So that's literally, you know, a little more than one in four of all school districts in the state. So that means wherever you're listening, one in four districts, 25% of districts are considering some, most, you know, a lot are already in one, but so many are considering it now just to help balance that budget in the next school year. And I think people really got to understand that the schools are going to this well because they're not getting that funding that they need, you know, from other avenues. And in some cases, especially in rural schools, the cost of having teachers and things with escalating inflation, cost of materials, it's really put the hurt on the budgets.
I really appreciate being a part of Civic Media because our friend Pat Kreitlow and Up North News, Earl Ingram was talking about this morning. I know Jane McNair and Maggie Dawn have as well. But Earl Ingram had a guest on this morning, and I wanted you to speak to this. We can pick it up on the other side, about 2 minutes left here before this break, that even though enrollments are going down, and that's kind of a natural ebb and flow, a lot of the fixed costs stay the same. Mm-hmm. And school districts still have to come up with the money despite, it's not just about how many kids you have in a building, it's the fixed cost, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, and it's also, you know, obviously the number one cost is teacher salary, right? So every year they look at the inflation index, right? So last year it was 8%. And so some school districts just say, we're going to match that all the way. A lot of school districts can't afford that. So the year before it was a little over 4%. And now for this year, it's another 4%. Before that, for the 6 years prior to that, the highest jump in inflation was about 2%. So now schools are grappling with, how do we compete for teachers and salary and staff, and how do we make this attractive to people? And that's another big part of it. Those costs don't go away. You need to have teachers to have a school. You need to operate your facilities. You need to have food. You need transportation. And especially for smaller schools where transportation is a big issue to get out in the country and everything, these costs don't go away. Regardless of the enrollment in schools right now.
You bring up teachers' salaries as being a big cost. I think it's important to remember that post Act 10, that teachers really don't have any ability to collectively bargain on that. There are districts, perhaps like yours, who are giving teachers increases. There are a lot that aren't, and where they might get a salary increase, the health care cost for teachers, the percentage that they have to pay now in some districts has gone through the roof.
It has. And, you know, I'll just speak to this. I think that's an equity issue because now smaller districts are being outdone by suburban or urban districts that can pay a lot more for teachers.
Great point. Live on location here at the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee. Jimmy Cuska is along for the ride. He'll come back on the other side. Just the Todd Allbowl Show live in Milwaukee on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell.
Back to the Todd Allbowl Show, live on location across the Civic Media Radio Network. We are downtown Milwaukee at the Baird Center at the 103rd State Education Convention, consisting of the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, the Wisconsin Association of School District Administrators, and the Wisconsin Association of School Business Officials, in conjunction with the Wisconsin Public Education Network, where we are, Civic Media, one of the co-sponsors of the reception this afternoon. Are you going, Jimmy? Jimmy Cuska joins us from Civic Media, also a member of the school board in Boscobel School District in Southwest Wisconsin. Are you going to the big reception this afternoon?
Yes, so that's the General Assembly that we have this afternoon. That's really one of the highlights of this. Yesterday they brought in Sean Covey, who is an author, spoke a lot about leadership pieces, and I've actually learned a lot from it. And, you know, as I coach football, and, you know, I'm involved with a lot of youth organizations, so learning a lot from that. I always enjoy the perspectives that you get from it. It's not always solely focused on education. It branches out. There's other things you learn about, just like in terms of school topics. We've talked a lot about funding, right? But there's a lot of things happening here outside of that that are actually very positive. There's some really good positive, interesting trends happening right now in Wisconsin.
Let's take a minute, Jimmy, to talk about some of these positive things that are happening in our school districts, in Boscobel, your school district in Southwest Wisconsin, but things that you're hearing from your fellow school board members across the state. What are the good things that are happening in Wisconsin public education?
I would say the first thing in public education that's really exciting is that there are a lot of districts that have really embraced CTE, right? So the tech ed space, career programming, STEM classes, things like that. It's hard to find teachers for some of the science part of it, but when you go to schools and you see, you see like a fab lab that looks like it belongs, in an actual, like where you'd actually do this work.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about it. I did masonry. All you need is a trowel and some bricks, right? But these people, people are welding and doing things, and you go and you just see the amazing things that they can do even in a high school, and then the co-ops that they have with their local tech schools and local universities. I think one of the coolest things, and they talked about this yesterday, that you get college credits when you're in school. Now, when I was in school 1,000 years ago, you had your little tiny webcam on a desk, and you might be able to get a quarter credit for college. We had students in Boscobel last year that graduated. One graduated with 27 college credits in the bag.
Wow.
That's a full year that you don't have to pay for in college, and they go to college a year ahead already.
That's incredible.
So the dual credit opportunities, the partnerships with tech schools, with the UW schools, I think those are some really great trends, because not only are you, you're giving students a chance to kind of work ahead a bit in a sense, but you're also exposing them to more critical thinking issues, to things that are going to help them find jobs, to find, their pathway in education, and ultimately a better career for it. And I really firmly believe that, schools that haven't embraced that, they probably should get into that. Like I said, it's not my world, but seeing the success that they've had with it and seeing the things they have like robots here, like robotics, it's crazy. Yeah. And I think that's an area that really excites me about kind of where things are going in terms of education.
Well, my brother-in-law teaches tech ed in the Eau Claire School District. And of course, when I was in tech ed, it meant, making a wood book holder or something for my mom, And now it's, so you say robotics and AI and all this stuff, Jimmy, you're much younger, because you talk about having a small webcam. Jimmy, I learned how to type on an actual typewriter. That was the keyboarding class that I had. All right. But I think it's an important point you bring up. And Sue mentioned this from Door County when she was here earlier, is that unless you have a kid like you do in public schools, the outsiders like me that don't have kids, we don't appreciate the changing things that are happening to keep up with technology and the outside world.
A lot of the rhetoric that happens with regards to education is people feel like, well, we're not preparing them, or we're teaching them things they aren't going to ever use in a job. We're not making them college ready and things like that. And I don't know how much time they're spending in schools if they're saying that, because I go to our school, for example, in Boscobel, and one of the first things I learned is that we have an airport, a regional airport, but we have a flight simulator in our district, in our tech ed room, and we actually had a student graduate with credits from an aviation program, and now it's a course offering. As of next year, it'll actually be an actual course offering that we have in our high school. Flight simulation.
That's crazy.
That's not the things you think about when you think of a high school setting.
Right.
But, in southwestern Wisconsin, in a typically small rural district, we have a course that gives you credit for a flight simulator. I think of opportunities like that. You mentioned Eau Claire. That area has a wonderful tech college in the Chippewa Valley Technical College. My hometown of Kidat has really invested in their portion of their tech ed space, preparing students for what they're going to find in careers beyond high school. And I think that if you're talking about like the financial literacy debate, trying to get kids educated on managing their finances, these things are, there are a lot of things happening in school that goes beyond what you normally think of in public education. And it's really encouraging to see how many kids take advantage of things like dual credit to help prepare themselves for what comes beyond it.
You mentioned teachers, and particularly for rural districts, there's a big competition for teachers. I come from a whole family of educators. I was the only goofball that didn't go into it, either at the college or the K-12 level. I don't think most people realize the individual reports that teachers are doing, all the things they're doing outside of the classroom, and that really is one of the biggest assets of our school district.
It really is, and your school is only as good as the people that are in it, right? And I really firmly believe it's the people and the teachers. And that's the hard thing is when you have openings for like a math teacher, for example, you know, we didn't have any math teachers at one point in our last hiring cycle, right? Wow. And we got them done at the end, but you know, a lot of people coming out of an education program at a college kind of have their pick of where to go. Yeah. And unfortunately for smaller districts, they can offer maybe a little less cost of living, or you know, maybe it's closer, you know, close-ish to a major city. But a lot of those things, the larger schools have more budget and they can absorb those things.
I have a Sharky on the line calling in from Racine on the phone line, 844-967-2789. Sharky, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hey, they're all my heroes out there, the school teachers and the education. I love it. I love it. I love the program. And I got to tell you, I've been boots on the ground for 40 plus years doing various work for politics and our communities and our education. And I tell you, terrible hearings position when we had the recall situation. And unfortunately, we had beautiful teachers working the paths up there, sponsoring the recalls, working in the cold ice, and subsequently a situation that happened there where there was a complaint where the school teachers that came out of Kenosha were being threatened, and subsequently the attacker actually came back around a few times. And subsequently was another threat to the school teachers, and the school teachers were cast aside. And I'll tell you that it was very ugly. It was very threatening, but it even got worse. And it got worse because the individual that was being pointed out actually tried to run over a volunteer, and subsequently of his positioning. You know, it was a horrid thing, but I see as we have a lot of energy happening again. We don't want to see that ever to happen. You know, keep our people safe in that. So, but thank you for the energy, and I love the fact that we have all this energy here. And you know, one term always came up in my head: these people that want to wreck education, they just want to starve the beast for their own personal needs. Yeah. So thank you.
I appreciate the call, Sharky. Thank you so very much. Jimmy, 5 more minutes. Can you stick around? All right, Jimmy's going to come back on the other side, so we can kind of wrap things up with him. Don't go anywhere. We see you on the lines, as Matt Flynn says. More calls on the other side. More with Jimmy Cuska live from the Public State Education Convention here in Milwaukee at the Baird Center. This is the Todd Allball Show. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live at the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee at the 103rd State Education Convention, a compilation of the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, the Wisconsin Association of School District Administrators, and the Wisconsin Association of School Business Officials in conjunction with the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Great to have you along. Bustling here as we're getting ready to start our afternoon sessions. We are in the Rotunda area of the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee, and joining us once again, our colleague here at Civic Media, happens to be a member of the Boscobel School Board in Southwest Wisconsin, Jimmy Cuska. Jimmy, thanks for sticking around.
You know, it's great.
Whoops, one second. Now you're on.
There we go. Press on, right, guys?
Right, yeah, I know.
It's great to have the opportunity to talk with all, you know, I've been on a lot of our Civic Media shows from this because I think there's a lot of value in kind of spreading the word about education, and, you know, these things affect you no matter where you live in the state when it comes to levying and all that. So, you know, whether you have kids or not, education issues are going to affect you in some way. So I would just encourage people to, you know, be open to ideas, you know, support kids, obviously. And if you want to learn more about your schools, first, you can contact the schools and they can tell you pretty much anything you need. But go to a school board meeting, see the process play out, and get involved somehow. You'd be surprised just how different it is from the perception, because I know before I joined the school board, I had no idea. And now that I'm in it, I'm like, okay, now I start seeing how these things all come together. And it's complicated. But it's great to get in the process and see how things actually come together.
Yeah, appreciate all your time today on Civic Media shows, including ours. And thanks for your service to the Boscobel School Board. I know you have kids in the district as well. I can't think of a better way to be supportive of kids than to take the time to serve on the school board.
Yeah, this is such a tremendous role for people that if you're ever interested in running, I highly encourage it. You learn a lot. In a very, very short amount of time, you learn quite a bit. And honestly, the fact that it kind of embeds you in the community, that's just a bonus. You get to learn about your neighbors. So
you hear him on the air doing news. You also are a sports director and a man of many hats. Those, just a couple of them. And also school board member Jimmy Cuska. Thank you so much, my friend.
Todd, it's been great talking to you here.
All right. Thank you so much. Jimmy Cuska, he's getting ready for his next session. And we're going to get ready for our next guest. If you'd like to join us, give us a call. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a thought, what is your opinion on the state of public education in the state of Wisconsin right now? We'd love to hear from you. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, you can go to your app store, either your Apple or Android device. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. It comes up. You can download it. It takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what Gail King calls a deal. The Civic Media app, feel free to text us or give us a call, 844-967-2789. Again, on location here in downtown Milwaukee at the Baird Center. Mr. Zomers, one of our friends, our colleagues, always great to work with Pat Kreitlow in person. He called in earlier on the show. He has made it safely. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News, every morning from 6 until 8. How are you, my friend?
I'm very good. Say hi to, I don't have headphones, so say hi to Aaron for me. Yeah. I lived here from 1987 to 1991 while Sherry attended the Medical College of Wisconsin. Both our daughters were born here. So I've known the city. I love the city. I wasn't sure I could still get around the city. The zoo interchange looks a lot different than it did back then, but managed to find the place just fine.
Well, that's great. Thanks for making the effort to get down here. Really appreciate it. I know that public education is something that you've talked about so frequently. You had great guests on Up North News, both from the education side. You've had people from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, as well as legislators. I know you talked to State Senator Jeff Smith earlier this week about public education. What are things that you've been talking about on Up North News that you think are resonating with people across the state right now?
Well, we went so far as to create a weekly segment just dedicated to public education Wednesdays during our 7 a.m. hour because we feel like there does need to be that recommitment to, you know, the mission of public education, of a free, low-cost public education, because so many people, unfortunately, are trying to dismantle it. Mm-hmm. If not eliminate it, then at least make it the far weaker alternative to private education that could be driven either by ideology or even by corporate profit. And neither one of those things should be the guiding star for public education in a state like ours. And so we want to highlight the people who are making public education work, despite the obstacles, but we also want to shine a light on those who are the obstacles, who are the barriers to undermine public education. Coincidentally or not, that the Venn diagram of people trying to undermine public education and the people trying to undermine democracy in the United States appears to be a circle. And that should trouble a lot of people in the United States in the year 2024, and it's not going to get fixed by itself. It's going to take some very vocal efforts like what we're doing here on our show and on Civic Media at large.
Yeah, and again, Civic Media, so thankful to our CEO and owner, Sage Weil. Civic Media is one of the co-sponsors of tonight's reception with the state school superintendent for the Wisconsin Public Education Network. They are a nonprofit, grassroots, statewide coalition of public school advocates. I know they've had members been on your show, Pat, on Up North News Radio as well. I want to talk about one of those folks, people that we know, and I'm not going to read the entire article, but if you have a chance, our listeners have a chance to go to the Wisconsin State Journal and dial up this great op-ed piece by Chris Andrews from Madison. She is a former administrator for the Universities of Wisconsin, I'll call it UW System, also served in former Governor Lee Sherman Dreyfus's administration and was chief of staff for former U.S. Congresspeople Steve Gunderson and Scott Klug. Both happen to be Republicans. Now, here's someone who knows public education inside out. I'll say this because I know her. She also, and she's great in her own right, but she also had a great insight because her late husband, Morris Andrews, was the head of the Wisconsin Teachers Union for years. And those two were a power couple when it came to education in this state. Chris continues to be. She wrote a great op-ed called "The Legal Challenge to Private School Vouchers is Justified." And Pat, what are your feelings on this in terms of taking this? We've had a couple of callers on the show that were a little upset about this, but explain your understanding, your take on using this state public money and continuing to pour into vouchers.
It's a heist. It's a heist. It's skimming. It's stealing. It's stealing from our children. I've always contended that from the very beginning when this thing got started as a humble little experiment, which has now become Frankenstein's monster. It's wrong. It's wrong on every conceivable level, but the only thing that's been protecting it has been everything from, you know, gerrymandered districts to misleading political campaigns to a state Supreme Court that for 15 years was run by, you know, right-wing politicians wearing judges' robes. If there had been honest brokers and any of those players along the way, the rules of the game would have stayed the way that they should have been. We have a public school system here that the public helps fund. If you want to go to private school, vaya con Dios. But don't be looking to the taxpayers for that, because we can only afford and should only afford one school system, not what we now have, two parallel school districts that are bleeding taxpayers dry.
For those who might not listen to Up North News regularly, and if you're not, why the heck aren't you? 6 to 8 every morning.
That's right. Right? Can't get up that early? Do a podcast.
That's right. But Pat's also a frequent visitor on our show. Pat not only is a great broadcaster, but in television and radio, but you spent 4 years as a state senator on the Democratic side of the aisle representing the Eau Claire, Lake Wissota area up there. So you've been on the inside, Pat. You understand the funding of this.
But I also understand the partisan nature of this debate does not cut clearly across lines. There are, and we dealt with this during my time, there are Democratic members who are very much in favor of, or were at least at the time, the way that the school system, you know, was set up. So I've seen the internal squabbles within parties, not just, you know, between the larger issue of for or against vouchers.
You were in the state Senate during the whole Act 10 debacle.
Right before that, yeah.
Right before that. Yep. And, you know, my former boss, Dale Schultz, a Republican, he was the only Republican to vote against Act 10. He said at the time, we are setting up a two-tier system for education.
He was right. He was 100% right. You know, I had to watch it from the outside, having been unseated in 2010. And then in February of 2011, that's when Scott Walker, again, dropped that bomb that he did not campaign on. It was something that was sprung on Wisconsin the way that it was. Of course, it led to all the division that we've had ever since. And your former boss, who I respected on the other side of the aisle from me in the Senate, was 100% right.
We have a texter on the text line, or if you'd like to join us, feel free to do it via the Civic Media app. Listening on WMDX in Madison, Mary from Mount Horeb. Pat, maybe you can help talk us through this one as somebody who served on the Democratic side of the aisle. Mary from Mount Horeb says, not sure if you covered this already, but speaking of vouchers, why does Governor Evers still support them? I'll let you take that, and we'll weigh in.
Oh, I'm certainly not going to even try to pretend to speak for the governor on that one. I can only speak to why he was opposed to this most recent lawsuit filed by Kirk Bangstad, the Minocqua Brewing Company, seeking an immediate court-driven end to the voucher school system. The governor said at the time, and would still contend now, that is too abrupt. You would suddenly have, you know, I forget the number now, but thousands upon thousands of students who would have to find another place to go conceivably. As far as his feelings on whether there should always be a voucher program, like I said, there are progressives and Democrats who did or do support it in some way, shape, or form. Governor Evers has said repeatedly the reason he supported last year's deal, which gave a massive increase to voucher schools, was because it also gave a huge, if not as big, increase to public schools, more so than they'd seen in several years. Some people said, okay, we'll have to take that bargain. Others said that was a bridge too far, and we should have, public schools should have just been able to make do without it. But we know the dire straits that public schools are in.
I think you bring up a great point, and I don't envy Governor Evers in his position, because let's just be honest. I mean, we're maybe going to get new maps here for this election, but looking back at the last budget, there was no realistic way that a Republican-controlled assembly and Senate with almost veto-proof majority was ever going to negotiate to what maybe Democrats or what some more progressives wanted on public education. I'm not going to speak for them either. Right. Maybe it was just being pragmatic and taking the best deal. I don't know.
That really is all you can really chalk it up to, and to say that you take the increase for public schools and then you live to fight another day, and that perhaps with new maps, perhaps with a more competitive legislative makeup, perhaps with even more data that shows that voucher schools do not perform better and are just skimming money off the top, maybe we will then see in the future a paring back of this two-track education system. But for the moment, the governor, recognizing split government, did what he thought he had to do.
A couple of minutes left here before I have to go to a break. We'll let you go, but I appreciate it. Unless you want to stick around, you're welcome to. I'm not sure what your time
is. I'm here just for you, pal.
Oh, my gosh, this is fantastic. Well, let's talk then just for a second before we go to the break here about what people across Wisconsin, we talked with Jimmy a little bit, because we talk about all the things that are wrong. There are a lot of good things that are happening in education. I still maintain, as Jimmy said, go to your local school board meeting and listen and find out what's going on. Run for school board, but be involved, because it's your tax dollars that these relatively few people are voting on.
It's absolutely true, and it does not get not nearly enough is said about the good and the value that comes out of it. And I'll tell you why. Because the dangers to those good things are very real. And for some people like me, that's the more important thing to talk about right now. And I'm very thankful, as I was driving in, hearing Jimmy say what he had to say about, you know, technical education and other things. There are so many good things. We will try to highlight them more. But the dangers are so real to public education, to democracy, to people's private healthcare choices, that those are the areas that I and others, you know, do choose to focus on. And it gives me a great pleasure every so often to be reminded by people like you, hey, bring up the good now and then. It's still out there. I get that. I've always known it. I just know that there's more trouble out there that threatens it than most people recognize.
Sadly, that's true. And I think you're right that we are at a precipice right now in some school districts. I mean, I talked about this earlier. There's a referendum in Burlington, Robin Voss's hometown, that if that doesn't pass, basically all extracurriculars, including Friday night football, are gone. And I realize, look, education is there for reading, writing, arithmetic, whatever. But the extracurriculars, as we talked about before, are a large part of these communities.
That's right. And if they go away, you lose that community identity. And you have then politicians that are going to be left to say, well, I guess that just wasn't meant to be. Well, some of us think that it is meant to be and want to fight for it.
We'll come back for one more segment live on location with the fantastic Pat Kreitlow. We are here in downtown Milwaukee at the State Education Convention. Pat and Todd on location, having a beer. Well, not yet. Stay tuned. More from Milwaukee on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, live on location at the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee at the 103rd State Education Convention on Public Education, along with fantastic Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, every morning from 6 until 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Zommer's played a little beer barrel polka, appropriate, you know, here.
Very nice,
down in Milwaukee.
I definitely feel like I'm back home.
I mean, let's just talk for a second. I mean, one of our callers earlier, you know, erroneously was making the charge that Milwaukee public schools are getting an F and are failing. And of course, you and I were both down here in South Milwaukee last summer at another convention on public education. And the school superintendent said, look, of course, there are, like every district, there are some problems. But by and large, the Milwaukee public school system is doing much better than what people think it is.
And many of its problems are exacerbated by the hostility that comes from suburban and, greater Wisconsin legislators who live to dump on Milwaukee. hockey, and rather than be a help, they've decided to be a hindrance, much like they do with government overall. They hinder things, and then they claim, well, government, you know, just doesn't work, and then they go out and prove it by their actions, and they're not doing right by the school kids of Milwaukee.
If you want to get into the conversation before we end the program, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Don't forget Matt Flynn coming up after the top of the hour. Great program, Matt Flynn Direct, not too far from us here in Milwaukee. Pat, a couple of issues I want to get your perspective on here that have been in the news. One of them, of course, is book banning in places in Wisconsin. You had some comments from Dr. Underly on this.
Yeah, we had the state superintendent of public instruction, Jill Underly, on January 3rd, first Wednesday that we were back from break. And I just was really impressed with, I've always been impressed with the way that she speaks out against, the book banning issue, the way that she speaks very forcefully in favor of diversity, equity, and inclusion in our schools, but especially the way that she framed the book banning issue. It's not about banning some books that people don't like. This is about, as she put it, the freedom to read. And that's what our school children deserve. That's what everybody in our community deserves, is the freedom to read what they want, the freedom to have teachers that are unencumbered by partisan politics to talk about the values of those lessons in what we're reading, and the freedom to not have our bookshelves purged by people for ideological reasons that, you know, are fine for them. They can tell their kid not to read, but they don't get to tell an entire community what not to read.
I mean, they've gone so far in Florida now, this is true, banning the dictionary in some school districts.
Which is literally as anti-education as it gets. We literally do not want you to look up in a book what the word literally means.
Right, exactly. Other issue that Jane Matinere and Greg Bach on Matinere on the Air, I was driving down here listening to them this morning, and they picked up on this issue. I like your thoughts on this. In the assembly today, they passed out of committee this bill from Van Wongard on a 6-3 party line vote. It would bar school staff from addressing students by their chosen pronouns or name without parental consent, and guarantee parents the right to review instructional materials as well as have their child opt out of a lesson if they disagree with it. This comes from WisPolitics, a great news source, by the way. I want to get your take on this. I want to clarify a couple of things.
Sure. Well, first off, as always with misguided attempts like this, it begins with the assumption that every parent is benevolent and that every parent has their child's best interests at heart, when we all know that is certainly not the case. There are children who are abused and neglected. There are children who are shunned for who they are, for what they are. And school is the only other, and sometimes the only, trustworthy place where they can find somebody. And now you have, again, big government Republicans wanting the state to dictate the level of compassion that you can find in a school. And it's wrong. It's living a fairy tale under the guise of parents' rights, forgetting that there are parents that are missing in action or downright harmful, and there are teachers and counselors and others who can play a helpful role, but not if big government Republicans are gagging them.
I think the first issue we talked about and this are related in this way, that, you know, as a kid who grew up in a small town and didn't have access, I mean, there was no internet, you know, when I grew up. And as someone who was unsure of who I was and ultimately, you know, discovered that I happened to be a gay person, the ability to go into a library and read something that's factual and true and talks about human sexuality and our emotions and our psyche, and then to have a teacher or a counselor who you could confide in and talk to that with privately is not only invaluable, it can be for some people life-saving.
It can be life-saving. And for me, my example is slightly different, but you know exactly where I'll be coming from. When my parents divorced, I was in second grade, I think in third grade, at a school library, a book that absolutely saved me. It was called The Boys and Girls Book About Divorce. And it sounds rather innocent, and it was, but you can now foresee where some people would say, oh, we don't believe in divorce. We don't think children should learn about divorce. It just makes them feel bad. It makes them feel whatever. And so we're going to ban this book that was helpful to me and so many others who needed ways to understand an issue and cope with an issue in ways that their fighting parents couldn't do for them at the time.
Could definitely relate. My parents divorced when I was 11, and kids go through a lot, and I think we forget that. They go through a lot, and even, I think it was an Earl show this morning, there are so many kids out there who are thinking about or attempting suicide because they're scared of the world politics. They're overwhelmed by it. And it's conventions like this where people across the state come together and say, how can we put kids first? And that leaves me feeling better for having met all these people here.
Very much so. It is, again, about putting the kids first, putting the kids' education first, putting the kids' safety first. Everything I'm hearing today about the new U.S. Department of Justice report about all the failings at Uvalde during that school shooting there just reminds me yet again of just how often, even with bills in the Wisconsin legislature today, that put potential gunmen and shooters first above the lives of our children.
We salute all those people serving on the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, the Association of School District Administrators, and the Association of Business School Officials.
Congratulations, by the way, on not saying WASB, WASDA, or WASBO all this time.
People don't know what that is.
But they do.
Unless you serve on them.
They go around going, now, are you D, B, or Bo, or what?
I got to spell it out. Also, Wisconsin Public Education Network. And, of course, thanks to our CEO and owner, Sage Weil, for being a sponsor of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And thanks to Jimmy Cuska earlier, Sue from Door County, and our friend and colleague Pat Kreitlow of Up North News every morning from 6 until 8. Thanks, Pat.
You're very welcome.
It's always fun working with you.
I know.
Always fun.
Do it again real soon.
We will do that. Thanks to Luke Mathers. He will be in this chair tomorrow filling in. I'll be back with you on Monday. Stay tuned now for our friend Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, reporting live from the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee for Pat Kreitlow. I'm Todd Alball. Whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, keep banging your drum.